This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Sam's doing the exact same thing as with her. That's the spirit we want to really emphasize this year. So I'm so excited that we're starting the year this way because 6 months around, I guess, July, we were both at a crossroads. So Sam was at the crossroads where she has a day job, but comedy is, she's working like 80 hours a week managing her day job as a nanny and full-time comedy, producing some of the top shows in the city. So now we said we'd follow up in January. So since the interview, what has happened?
What is up, Hot Breath of Verse? Welcome back to the Hot Breath Podcast, your weekly guide to comedy mastery. I am, of course, your host, comedian Joel Byers, and you know what time it is. Hot Breath. Yes, hot brethren and sistren, welcome back to the show. Thank you all, you first time or new listeners. Last week, I know we had a lot of new listeners come in after Andrew Frank's episode. So thank you for coming back. You won't regret it. We're starting off with a bang here on this week's episode. We're doing trying a lot of new things this year, and this is one of those attempts. I'm actually bringing back a previous guest to do a live Q&A with you. So if you want to get more involved with these live Q&As moving forward, go join our Facebook group, Hot Breath Comedy Network on Facebook. Go request to join. Let me know how you found the show, and you'll be in there connecting with listeners from around the world. Because the Hot Breathiverse is growing, y'all. We were just featured on the Comedians on the Loose top resources in comedy for 2020. So go check it out. It'll be linked in the show notes. We also shared it in the Facebook group and all that. But word is spreading. So I hope you're as excited as we are here at the Hot Breathiverse for what is to come in 2020. And this show is really all about just empowering comedians and helping comedians get better at comedy in a supportive environment. Because I'm telling you, I've been doing this almost 10 years. I know the grind of the midnight open mics. I know driving 12 hours for $50. I know the whole hustle of wanting respect from your peers and wanting to get on the book show and really excel. So the whole point of this show is to help you do that faster. So if you find it helpful, all I ask, share it with other comics. When you're at an open mic and you guys are talking about comedy and someone brings up writing, maybe be like, oh, have you heard Hot Breath? There's this great episode about writing with Ian Edwards where he breaks down joke structure. You know what I'm saying. So this episode actually has a lot of great questions about writing. And also my guest is one of the top bookers in the city of Atlanta. She has so much insight into how to just go to a venue, how to propose a show to a venue, how to talk money. There's how to get booked on shows. This is a masterclass on just how to, one, write jokes, but also to start getting booked on shows, which I know is very important for comedians. So as we are growing here as well, I do just want to make a quick announcement that February 1st, of this year, I'm releasing my first ever comedy special titled The Trophy Husband. So it's going to be linked in the show notes. If you've enjoyed this show over the years or just over the weeks or days or minutes as we're in this intro, go in the show notes, click the link, pre-order the special, show support for what we're doing here, and also show support for comedy. I'm independently producing and releasing a comedy special to inspire other comics to do the same. So if that's something you want to help out, by all means, please go hit that pre-order and be one of the first to see it. You can also get a sneak peek at the trailer on that link as well. So let's get into today's episode. I could not be more excited. My guest is actually from way back in Hot Breath episode number 183 at the middle of last year. We did an interview, and then now we're doing what we said in that interview. We do a six-month follow-up. I actually was interviewing her in a big tipping point in her career where she was trying to balance between a full-time job and becoming a full-time comedian. So this is like our follow-up of how much progress she has made and where she is now and how she got there. And there's some fun updates in where my career was to now as well. So go check out that episode. It'll be linked in the show notes. Check out that episode. You're going to love it. It's a big theme around when to quit your job for comedy. But this is a live Q&A full of fire. We ended up having like 200 people joining in and leaving questions and such. So this is going to be the first of many. So thank you all for your continued support. And let's get into this. As there is only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath. With Sam Gordon.
They can hear us. Nah. But this is so exciting because... Oh, well, Sam is holding my dog right now named Guinness.
So exciting.
Oh, somebody said the mic is crisp. Okay.
Ooh.
So we have a lot of people tuning in. Cynthia says hey. Jerry says hey. Matt was at the show last night. Matt Whiteside.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Matt. Oh, my gosh, Matt. You were so funny. Oh, that stupid bit. We loved you so much. We really did.
He was.
You were hysterical. You were so much fun. I loved it.
I did his show yesterday to promote the special, and he was talking about he's trying to do all these weird jokes.
I
now.
Loved it so much. The energy is so frenetic.
The
and
energy,
nonstop.
Yeah.
It's so good. You remind me a little bit of what, have you seen Carter? You saw Carter last night, Carter
Oh
Deans,
my.
He's doing it, but with like rap battle stuff. But it's that same, it's just like nonstop, just brain flow, but it is planned. Like to us, it seems like the ramblings of a crazy person that happens to be funny, but these are like very crafted bits. That they are performing like a crazy person.
That's
it's
what I
so
thought.
Good.
I thought I was going to have to follow Carter, and I was like, I'm going to open up with it. I have to follow like a mental breakdown. But I love, like, I hadn't sat through an open
so
mic
good.
Like that in a while.
Yeah, and you did see some.
So it was like, I hadn't sat through just like an open mic in a while, and just to see, and it really brought back memories of like, oh yeah, I used to live here. Mm-hmm. And the people that come in and what they say and the characters and you, that is like your job.
Yeah, I'm
you're,
doing it.
You're like a matriarch of all these crazy
I'm
people.
It twice a week now. technically three times a week if you count if block party isn't booked, but it's still kind of a mic, you know? It's like basically a booked open mic at this point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm always, you know, a part of me loves it. It's great to hear what other people are doing. I'm always learning something.
Right.
But I also learn a lot of things I don't want to know. I also hear a lot of things that make me very unhappy. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, last night there was definitely a point where, just for a couple of people, I was not even looking at my phone, I was just like staring at the wood grain of the table, and I was just like, okay, because sometimes it's like, you guys gotta remember how what you say affects people. I know it's like free speech, but...
even at open mics, alright?
I don't know.
So this is, everybody's saying, hey everyone,
hey,
thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to my complaining.
This is perfect. This is cool. Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Oh, she's watching from work. I don't know how to pronounce Mikey, or how do you think you pronounce that? Mike. She's actually in Charlotte, and I did a show at the Comedy Zone. She came out and showed support.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
And I feel terrible. I can't
pronounce
her name. But she shows a lot of support.
That's wonderful.
And she'll be at my shows in Columbia. That's
all
so cool.
Right.
The Joliverse is out here. And this is the Hot Breathiverse. So what we're doing today, this is the first time we've ever done this, but Sam is a fellow member of the Hot Breathiverse. She shares our mission of helping comedians just get good at comedy and stop saying weird things at open mics that make people uncomfortable. So what we did 6 months ago, this was in July when her episode was released.
Yeah, I just listened to it actually on the way over.
I listened
here.
To it today too to refresh. Yeah.
I was like, wow, he sounds so good.
Yeah.
I honestly, when I listened to it before I had watched the video, I hadn't just listened to the podcast episode yet.
Uh-huh.
So, and I gotta say, the little intro you did with the soundbite and the music.
Oh yeah?
I like got like a little like, ooh. Like, it made me really excited because I've always had this fantasy of working for NPR. And so to hear, like, my voice over, like, music like that, I was like, oh my god, am I Ira Glass?
Yes.
Like, it really made me feel really good.
Dress for the job you want.
That was a great soundbite. I didn't even know it existed until today.
I appreciate
so
that.
Thank you
yeah.
for that.
So people, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to her episode. There's so much good insight about producing shows and just creating your own success. Because like here, and what I'm doing here at the podcast and with my own comedy, Sam's doing the exact same things with her. That's the spirit we want to really emphasize this year. So I'm so excited that we're starting the year this way, because 6 months around, I guess, July, we were both at a crossroads. So my personal crossroads was I was starting to shift from trying to teach all these classes, which was my primary income, into becoming a full-time touring comedian. I was at that crossroads. Sam was at the crossroads where she has a day job, but comedy is, she's working like 80 hours a week managing her day job as a nanny and full-time comedy, producing some of the top shows in the city. So now we said we'd follow up in January. So since the interview, what has happened?
Wow, Sam. So much has happened.
Okay.
Well, we set the goal initially that I wanted to either leave my job or like shift my job. I wanted to get into like my transition job to go from working 40, 50 hours as a nanny to something part-time. And that happened very shortly after we talked in the fall. The people, I got really lucky, and the people I nanny for got their kids into daycare early. And so now I'm, since November-ish, I've been working part-time, just like 25 hours a week for them. And then I've got some other like babysitting things that I've picked up, so I can do kind of like a la carte babysitting, supplemental income babysitting.
Yeah.
So I freed up some time, so I've already accomplished that. Very proud of myself for that. The little speed bump I ran into in my time that I was not anticipating, in September, shortly after we spoke, I went through a major breakup and moved out of my house and like flipped my whole life upside down, which will really slow down some progress on some things. However, I listening to the episode today, I felt like I got derailed a lot this last few months, but then listening to the episode today and like the goals I was setting, I'm realizing I kind of still knocked it out of the park. Not to like pat myself on the back too much, but
yeah.
I had a really rough end of the year. I'm going to hold this dog.
Dog forever.
As you can tell, I had a really rough end of the year. It's getting so much better.
My wife's going to be so jealous. She's like, he's kissing someone else.
No, I heard how close you guys are.
Oh, yes.
Your bit.
It's on the special, guys. Go pick up the trophy husband special.
But, yeah, you know, so I got some time freed up, and it's allowed me to do a little bit more with my shows. By the end of last year, I produced, I think when we last spoke, I had just done our 10th Don't Tell show.
Right.
By the end of the year, we did 20. I added the new open mic, thanks to your connect with Addie's Attic. So we've got the new show going. A couple of the new shows that I kind of been like planting seeds for last year are coming up. We've got some new things that we're going to be doing with the Moxie Hotel in Midtown.
Oh, those are
great.
And
I'm going to be producing, very excited to produce some shows for some headliners that I can't quite announce right now.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing in the spring. We've got a really great headliner that we're bringing to town. I'm producing a show with the Earl. I'm very excited for that.
What?
So yeah, Winnie Peach is expanding. So I've accomplished some goals. I feel good about it. I definitely feel a little stuck creatively still, but I do feel like I'm coming out of it. I just had to go through a lot of emotional turmoil. And now I'm on the other end and I feel pretty good. So I feel like my 6 months has been pretty successful. All in all, despite the bumps along the way.
It is good to have the goals, though, because they add perspective
how it kept me grounded.
I'm going to get my charger, too.
No, it really kept me grounded. I can't tell you how good it is to busy yourself with work when you're sad. Isn't that right, little puppy? Let's see what you guys are talking about over here. So we've got some people talking about promoting comedy. We've got people talking about breakups. Ooh, yeah, a new 20 minutes from your breakup. It took me, like, 3 months to even be able to talk about it without sounding mean. I think that's, like, a whole comedy class in itself. What's the way to be funny without being spiteful? I think maybe that should be my next workshop that I teach.
Funny without anger?
Or just, like, comedy for exes. Comedy for exes. Yeah, I think that might be a good class for all of us to take.
Yeah, we all go through the ups and downs, but it is important. Yeah, goals really become like the guidepost of like, it seemed like a bad year, but I actually did pretty well.
Yeah, really, I got some stuff done despite it, and I think I would have felt a lot worse had I not had things to work on, things to focus on, so.
Oh, there we go.
The journey.
This is the journey, as well as I'm trying to figure out how to charge a phone with a charger in the bottom.
Yeah, look at that. That's a beauty right there.
So we'll get this is more of like a live Q&A, but just the progress on mine is, as soon as I closed the door on classes, the second half of my year, I got connected with Comedy Zone, and I've been like booked. Like the whole second half of this year, I was gone like every weekend.
Awesome.
Booked work. And I freeing up the class stuff freed up my time to then do my own comedy special. So it all, I think for both of us, it seems like we all kind of like realized where we were and then set goals to where we want to be. And it works.
Yeah, I really, it is about taking, and also just like taking stock, I think, and realizing that, you know, even though you want to do 10 things, you might only have time for 4 of them right now.
Right.
And that whole, what's that Ron Swanson quote about, not half-assing something, whole-ass one thing. But I did have to kind of scale back on a few things that I still really want to do and are still very important to me creatively, but just there wasn't time to devote to it and do a good job. Yes. I think recognizing that, I think it goes back to the self-awareness thing we talked about in the last episode we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it seems like we both made some time and, prioritized a little bit.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want the Hot Breathiverse to know before we jump into the Q&A?
You know, just, we've got the new open mic every Monday at Eddie's Attic. You can sign up early, which I think is wonderful. You just have to call in. If you go to the Facebook event or the Wendy Peach website, we've got all the information there. I have a new session of my class starting with Action Show Studios in February.
Nice.
We'll have some dates up on the website in this next few weeks, so if you're interested in that, let me know. And I also just want to give a shout out to another resource that I don't think we had around the last time I was here, but Kathleen McDonald is another wonderful comedian who also has taught some comedy classes. She recently moved here from North Carolina, and she has a great new writer's workshop that she's hosting out of Sublime Donuts.
What?
Called Filling in the Hole, which is super cute. And the first session of it has like filled up already. But if you look her up, it's just Kathleen McDonald's Bossy Comedy is her organization.
Cool.
And I think it's a really great opportunity for people who are kind of like in between wanting to work alone and wanting to like commit to a 6-week class, or maybe you just want some time with a group without like committing to like a big schedule or a big, you know, price point, which is understandable. And Kathleen's great, and I think it's a really great inclusive space. So.
Oh, those are...
Filling in the Holes, Bossy Comedy. Please check it out. Yeah.
I used to do one of those on Sundays.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's really helpful, those workshops. I think we
totally
do that.
Anyone that's done mine, go do hers. Like, you know how valuable it is to get around other like-minded people.
Totally.
It's incredibly valuable.
New resource. So, yeah, please check that out.
And did we slightly mentioned it earlier? Are you still working on the app? Are you still doing anything with the open mic app?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still like an ambassador for them. They've been working on like debugging and doing some things.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it takes money, it takes people, it takes time.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's still out there. Mic Maps is still a viable resource that people are using. Check it out. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Very nice. All right. Well, this is going to be exciting. Looks like a lot of people are already commenting. Yeah. Looks like we got the...
All right.
And you said people were reaching out to you about the last one, right?
Yeah,
people
I
reached
did.
Out.
You know,
that's exciting.
I was in Houston, Texas, and some comics there I was talking to were like, oh, yeah, we heard you on the
podcast. I love that's their voice.
What? I was like, are you kidding me right now? So, yeah, it's been great. Thank you, guys.
Dude, Houston's
wonderful.
Deep in the Hot Breath verse. When I did my tour last year, that was another one of my goals, is to do a tour. I did a tour all around the Southeast last year, too. And in Houston, I probably had like 10 comics come up to me. I did a couple different shows around the city, and at every show, there were like comics.
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's really...
so cool.
It's a really growing scene right now. They've got
a lot of
really fun people coming out of it.
Yeah, it really is.
Excited about it, so...
So let's jump into this here. We hey Gary. First off, we're gonna do questions from the Hot Breath group, and then we're gonna jump down into Joel Byers as well. So the first one we have here is from Gary Henry. Shout out to Gary Henry. He said, "There's a local cable show, kind of like the Tonight Show. They feature comedians, but the audience is super small, just a couple people that work on the show. Would you recommend doing the show for some exposure?"
I mean, I guess it just depends on what the situation is. I mean, I feel like if you trust that they're going to make you look good and they're going to use your material kindly, I mean, And I feel like that seems like something that, I don't know what kind of money is involved, if they're making money. I don't know, I feel like my rule is if they're making money, you should be making money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like, I mean, yeah, exposure's great, but people need to get paid for things. But yeah, I guess it really depends on the situation and if you feel like you have tight material, because I also can't stress enough don't take opportunities you're not totally ready for.
Yeah.
Because if you dig deep, there's a 15-minute clip of me my first year of comedy doing a set on a local cable show that is mortifying.
Oh, really?
And we can't get it taken down because we don't know who's in charge of it anymore.
Really? What made you decide to do it?
I was an intern for the show. Uh-huh. I was working on the show. I was like a PA, and we'd doing interviews with the comics. It was a really cool show. I'm not going to tell you the name because I don't want you guys to find it.
No problem.
But yeah, and they gave me a spot, which was very kind of them, but they should not have given me 15 minutes, and they shouldn't have posted all of it. They didn't let me see it before they posted it. It was just out there, and it just got a lot of views, which is great, I guess, but it was not something I love having out there. So yeah, make sure it's something you're totally ready to have your name on, possibly forever.
Great point. And yeah, the money side and also like ownership side, I know some people tape something, but then that material now belongs to the entity.
Yeah, I would say make sure that there's some kind of contract about the content, because you should own the content, especially if they're not paying you. I mean, it's one thing if it's local cable and there's no money involved, whatever, you're going to get a great tape or exposure, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you should always own your content, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a fair thing.
And we did a local news show.
Oh.
Do you remember that? We did a local news show parody daily show thing on local TV that I don't know.
I never saw the tape for that.
I never
video.
Saw it. No, I don't know.
I
what
never
happened.
Saw the tape for it at all.
I didn't either. I'd be interested to see that.
I would
though.
Love to see that. I really would. We should reach out to him and see if he has.
Yeah, that. So we all. Yeah, just yeah. Don't learn from our mistakes. Just make sure you do all the due diligence up
yeah,
front.
Yeah, get stuff in writing. Don't do stuff just because it's a friend.
Mm-hmm.
With just because you're buds doesn't mean there shouldn't be paperwork.
Because
it'd be, I don't know, there's footage of me somewhere that someone has.
And I look at everything I decide on now of like, what will this look like in 10 years?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, do I want to, because I got offered to play like a slave master in this role. I think I've talked about on the show before. Yeah. It was for like the LOL network and they wanted to play a slave master. And I was like,
this is really who I want to be.
In 5 years, I don't want that to be like some sort of debut. You know what I mean? So
totally. Well, and it's one of those things where it's like, assume that no one's going to see it, but make sure you're comfortable with everyone seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The likelihood is like, it probably doesn't matter, but you should still treat it like it matters because it's your identity and potentially your career if you're serious.
Yeah. And your brand and overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, Josh? Look at all these people hanging out. Hey, Josh. This is exciting. All right. Well, thank you, Jonathan, as well, in the comedy group. If you guys aren't in the Hot Breath Comedy Network group, definitely go join it. And, we've got some peeps here on the other. Carly says Guinness.
Oh, it's me. Perfect.
She told me I need to post more Guinness content.
Oh,
I do remember that.
Well, here, up front center, the star.
Matt says this mic looks like SpongeBob mic pants.
Aw, it is kind of like a reverse SpongeBob.
Cynthia says, love you, Joel. Can't wait for the special. People are saying hello, Walter and Cedric. I know there was a question, because some people couldn't make it. They had to be at work or whatever. But I know some people posted a couple questions in the group ahead of time as well. Sam, your hair looks so good, girl. Abby Moscani.
Ooh, thanks.
I just realized it's my face and then the microphone. I just realized I was...
Wow, that's a really good compliment. They can't see
your hair looks good. Chad Wallace said breakups equal 20 new minutes.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, here we go. Okay, Ron Hours. You know what's crazy about Ron Hours is I did a tour several years ago. Do you know Ryan Danisco or Devin Gollinge?
Devin, I know.
So they we went on a tour together called the Almost Grown Ups Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a brewery in Rolla, Missouri. And we met Ron Hours there, and he's like been a fan ever since.
Oh, that's nice.
Of our terrible comedy. But he said, I've been thinking about trying to promote comedy in my area. College town, 45 minutes from a fort. Any thoughts, tips, or advice entering that world?
Well, I'd say especially with college stuff, most colleges or fraternities or really any organization within the college town probably has someone who's in charge of like student life or activities. Mm-hmm. And probably, I'm sure, with like by fort, I'm assuming you mean like a military base or
I'm
something like that.
Assuming,
which again probably would have something for like entertainment or like they do have like. I remember when I was in high school, there's a naval base near the mall where I worked, and they would have certain days where they got to like come to the mall. So maybe the show could be their outing. But mm-hmm. I would say like try to reach out, find out like who books the like entertainment or like student life things, and see if there's a way to reach out directly to those people, because then they'll market the show kind of for you.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean that might be a good place to start.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's wanting to get into the colleges, and not what if he wanted to get into like a venue. Like around the college, maybe he's talking about that. I'm not sure which route.
Yeah,
he's
or
to
like
go.
Yeah, if you're looking like to start a show on campus, like trying to find out if there's a place that already does that, or if there's a bar that has a space that could be used as a room for a show and isn't doing that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out. I mean, I think having an access to a student body is always a great audience. College kids make great audiences.
Yeah, I remember you've said this, and I remember Joe Pettis said it on here, is that you want to approach a venue that is going to be supportive.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I mean, because the relationship goes two ways. And I think often, especially when people are starting their first show, or like, you know, when you're at this like amateur level, the assumption is that it's like, wow, you're so lucky to even have the opportunity to do comedy. And it's like, but also like your business would be lucky to have the opportunity to have someone else potentially bring in 30 people every mm-hmm. Tuesday or something, you know?
Exactly.
So it's like, don't underestimate the fact that, like, you also have value. Like, that's, like, you're not just, like, groveling at their feet asking for space. So, yeah, make sure that it's, like, they recognize that you're going to bring value, and make sure you are bringing value.
Yes.
But it's important, yeah, to make sure that you have a positive relationship and it doesn't turn into a thing where it's, like, you versus the regulars at the bar, and it's, like, every week there's a mm-hmm. fight between the comics and the people who like to drink there, because that sucks. That's not a fun show.
Yeah, definitely go to a venue that maybe is already set up to do live shows,
mm-hmm.
or that you know is going to be supportive and helpful
totally.
With the show. Not a venue that expects you to just do everything.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to start with the places that you frequent.
Yes.
What places
yeah.
that you're a regular at? Do they have a back room? Do they want to try something? I don't know.
Or even that brewery that you saw us at, Ron. Way back then, mm-hmm. that I can't believe you're a fan after seeing what
our
comedy
shows.
Was.
Brewery
yeah,
brewery shows are big. It's a great way to package a ticket where they can get the show and like a beer or something
mm-hmm.
like that. People love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Hope that helps, Ron. And then you know who to book when you get those shows. Right here. We'll go on tour. Nice question. Let's make sure you didn't. Yeah. Fort Leonard Wood, he said.
Fort Leonard.
And then Ron says yes. With exclamation marks. This is so cool. Technology. Matt Whiteside. Okay, this question should be prefaced that Matt's been doing comedy 4 months. Matt said, how long before you get booked consistently? Or how long before you got booked consistently? I will say last year. So about 9 years in is when I started getting like consistent booked, like paid work. Job, work, like
totally.
Out on the road.
Totally. Yeah, and there's different levels to that. I mean, booked
yeah.
consistently, that's an interesting phrase because I still like booked consistently on like a local level, like where
mm-hmm.
I was doing local showcases where maybe I wasn't getting paid or I was getting paid like in a drink or $10.
Right.
Your choice. But I would say for that, probably within like 6 months to a year for me. But again, I also came from a performing background and I had like different experience coming into it. But yeah, in the first like year, I'd say I started getting like local bookings. But yeah, like getting paid and like making money as a comic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like in my fifth year right now. And I'd say it's just in this last year that I started making money consistently and feeling like I was getting like real comedy spots. Like
yeah.
real shows.
Right. Yeah.
Know?
And it's fun to see you getting paid consistently, and it's a lot of self made. It's not like going out and begging to get stage time. It's more like I'll just create shows that will pay me as well.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
And that leads to more paid work. Because totally, like, if you book show here, someone out of town maybe like, hey, I gotta do your show. Hey, come to my show.
Yeah, it's all currency. It's all currency. Mm-hmm. And it's working out. Yeah, it's been good.
And I guess now that I'm thinking about it, you know, I hosted the Wednesday mic at Java Monkey, so that's about the most consistent booking. I just booked a weekly show, and now I'm booked every week. So it's a great place to start, and hosting.
It hones your skill in a really, so really much. Different way. You learn a lot, not only about how to perform, but how to manage people. You learn how to read a room. I don't know. I think everybody should host a show. I think it's very helpful.
That I 100% agree. Every comedian.
Capable of doing it all the time, but everyone should have to do it once to learn from it. Let's stress that. Everyone should ask a guest host something to kind of like try and learn, but don't feel like you have to start a showcase. Start an open mic. We need more of those.
That hosting stage time and having to deal with a venue and also other comedians.
It's so much.
Even if you do it once, you're going to learn so much.
100%.
Good question though, Matt. So. Yeah. It could be this year. Start your own show, and then you'll be booked consistently and have that currency to then... You almost are in the Illuminati a little bit, where it's like, you do my show, I'll do your show.
Yeah, it is a lot of bartering and trading. Yeah. Like, that's always what happens. So yeah, it's good to have a little something to offer people. So why not try?
Oh, boy. This is fun. And Jerry L. Woodruff, Joel killed it in Huntsville at Shenanigans. Have you been to Shenanigans in Huntsville?
I don't think so.
It's awesome. No. It's a really cool space. I stopped there on my Trophy Husband tour.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think Huntsville, I've only been to Stand Up Live and what is it that you have to get? Flying
Monkey?
Or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a nice scene going on in Huntsville. Mm-hmm. Oh, Matt said, I quit my job and that freed up a lot of time to clean out my house. Actually, they said had to be out by the end of the month. Hey.
Hey.
Oh, he did a joke. He does have a lot of free time.
He's not going to. It
took me till the end to be like, oh, he's doing a joke.
And I was like, is he okay?
Yeah. Jody Carter, just don't post videos of your set with the bits about your ex and them. She was pissed, but if she wanted to be talked about in a better light, she should have been better in the past.
Ooh, That's some Dr. Phil stuff.
Right.
That's heavy.
All right.
That's heavy.
I don't know.
Good luck.
Keep scrolling. Greg Liptak, he was at the show last night.
Hey, Greg, what's up, man? Greg runs a great new open mic on Mondays as well.
He does at the Hideaway.
Hideaway.
Yep, here
this
in Atlanta.
There's a buffet there, so you should.
He said he loves the early sign up. So I think on this new open mic you're doing, that's the new system?
Yeah, the new open mic, you can call in any time until 5 p.m. on Monday during like the business hours for Eddie Zadek. Mm-hmm. All that information is on the website on the event. Just call and tell them, hey, I'd like to be in like the early half of the show or the late half of the show, and they'll just give you a spot until whatever you are. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, isn't that helpful? Isn't it great?
And then you don't have to.
Yeah, they're managing it? I know.
Yeah, because
that's wonderful. They're saints.
That's how they do their music open mic, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think it's been nice, because they already kind of have an established system for it, and like the booking for it's really easy. They're wonderful. Be very kind to their staff. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, and be aligned with them, too. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's a name.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's
a brand.
Wonderful.
And Wendy Peach, like,
yeah,
I mean,
they've done a good job.
You know, this,
yeah, they're doing
it's
a good
popping.
Job. It's happening.
I'm so excited about that. All right, we have a lot of cool people. Teresa says, hey, Joel. We'll skip the Magic D Hunter. He said she's cute, so is he talking about me or Sam or the dog? I don't know which one.
The dog's really cute.
The dog.
The dog's really beautiful.
But thank you. That's not really a question.
Aren't you so cute?
Jerry's been rocking his Hot Breath shirt. Stan, great to see y'all. Ray, do you know Ray Shaky by chance?
I do know Shaky. Hey, what's up, man?
He says he loves to look at me some Sam Gordon.
Thanks, dude.
You know him like that? All right. With that laugh, okay. Do you know it? We just had a snort.
Loves to look at me some Sam Gordon. Gosh,
guys are so
like
bad.
Like Blade Runner, man.
And then Magic says, is she on Christian? Guys, is she on Christian Mingle?
I'm Jewish, obviously.
So embarrassed for men.
I know, isn't it?
So
it's okay.
Sorry.
I run two open mics, I know.
That's true.
I know what you guys are like.
Oh yeah, you did. You posted something last night saying if it's about murdering
women.
Oh my
god, I don't know what's been going on, guys. Here's the thing. You can tell jokes about how women get murdered, but you shouldn't tell jokes about murdering women. Do you understand the difference in that? I don't know. I just feel like every week I hear a joke where, like, some of the punchline is like, she ghosted me, so I tied her to a train track and ran her over. And you're like, dude, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really exhausting to be nervous around you guys all the time. So if you could stop being so creepy.
Open
but also,
lights.
You know, you're learning. It's fine. No judgment. I'm so sorry
to
have said anything. You're all perfect.
Cynthia says, Teresa Callen and I want to know when you'll be back in Alabama, or close enough for us Bama gals to come see your show again. Hopefully 2020, actually. I think, I was talking with Cynthia or Teresa about, she works in like real estate and coming and doing like comedy at an event opening, which
oh, very cool.
always goes well.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just shoehorn comedy
Surprise
in the middle.
Events.
Those can go well. I did one this year. I did a baby shower. For a surprise baby. Like, it was a surprise, an accident.
Ugh.
And the lady told me, she told everyone there was going to be comedy. But then I got there, and she goes, okay, so this is a surprise. And she wanted me to do, like, all baby shower material. Oh, it was a lesson learned. It was a lesson learned. But it was also $300. So what are you going to do? I will bomb for 15
wow.
minutes for $300.
Wow. That's so... I'm always curious when people want to bring stand-up to an event, and it's like, I'm sorry, is your pregnancy not a big enough deal that you
right.
need to add an entertainment aspect to it?
And to surprise, like the...
I don't know. I mean, hey, man, I think, God bless her. Thank you for the check.
She was not thrilled.
You know?
Yeah, I was grateful for the check, but
yeah,
the baby mama was not, like, entertained.
Yeah, oh, they surprised the...
Yeah, like nobody
I
knew.
I thought the
but
woman,
her.
I thought her, the one whose baby shower it was, booked it.
No, her mom booked it. Oh, it was.
Her mom's like, "This is what you get."
Maybe it was. It, there was a dynamic going
there
on in that
punish-
room.
There was a punishment aspect happening.
yeah.
It was you. Wow, that's so interesting. How strange.
Yeah, but if the event's set up right, then it's
yeah. Like
it's
I
good,
did a holiday party for a dental office,
mm-hmm.
and it was the family practice. All six of their kids, dentists.
Whoa.
They've been running the dentist industry in that town for like 40 years. They were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They were so happy to have us. It was a beautiful event, this like country club. And like in my head, I'm like, why are they booking comedy? But this is crazy. We got there and they were so lovely and it was
Aww.
Great. They took such good care of us.
I love
like,
that.
Thank you so much.
I love that.
Sometimes it's nice. Right?
Oh, Cindy says this is a great talk.
Ooh, a little bit chat.
Ron said he's fighting the mindset that only famous comics bring money in. But I don't think that's... I think comics... You can... There's money in comedy. There's money beyond just comedy as well. There's money in hosting
yeah.
events. There's money
yeah,
in doing...
Yeah, I think it just kind of depends on what... I mean, if you're talking in terms of just, like, sitting and waiting for offers to roll, and yeah, I mean, you gotta be Adam Sandler, but...
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's money in event coordinating. I think.
Producing your own shows.
There's
and...
something there. But yeah, I mean, sure, you could say that's a little bit of a nihilist view, but hey, that works sometimes.
What is nihilist? What is that?
Just
mean?
Like, it's like, what's the point? I mean,
you
know, it's
right.
gonna be how it's gonna be. It's only famous people get to have.
It's like that joke. I remember hearing the joke now. I had a joke about nihilism, but what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
But it's also thinking of like what bring money in means. Does that mean you make 40
yeah.
grand a year? Is that 400 grand?
Yeah,
like, what is money?
It all depends on the goal and.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's perspective checks on that.
Perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Ron.
That sounds a little negative. I think you got to lift your spirits up, Ron.
Yeah, come on, Ron.
Come on, Ron.
Book us to come to your show.
It's going to be okay.
Eric. What's up, Eric? Met him at the Weather Channel.
Oh.
Eric used to work at the Weather Channel, and we did some, like, skits for them. Greg Liptak. Oh, this is fun. Carly said, at least there are no murder comments so far.
Yeah, you guys are doing a really good job. All you've done is tell me how pretty I am, which I love.
And Greg says, any hosting advice?
Hosting advice. I think, personally, one of the things that I had to learn was to fight my instinct to always have a little comment. And I mean that not even like negatively. It's just like sometimes even like introducing people, it's like you're so anxious and like hyped up, and you want to do a good job making sure people are excited about them. And I see it all the time. I've done it where like you just like accidentally like say too much about them when you introduce them.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, this next guy, one time he told me a joke that was like, and you're just like trying to like convince the audience that they're really funny. And it's like, dude, they are funny. You booked them. Just bring them on. So I think it's just like learning how to pace how much you're talking as a host. Because you're there as an energy and a guide. You're not there as like the focal piece of entertainment. And I think people, you're there to nurture the show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to recognize your role. So I think that's my first advice, is like recognize your role. Make sure that's what you want to do. Do you want to be a host, or do you want to be a booked comic? Those are two different roles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, overall with hosting, I think it's just staying positive, not falling into the trap of like being like, oh, well, this sucks. Because you know how we all kind of neg ourselves.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You have to pretend like it's fun and it's going well no matter what. And Greg, I think you particularly do a great job at this. Like, if it's not going well, or if someone says something that's like really messed up, like what happens at open mics very often, like you deal with it without like punishing them, but you also go like, hey, okay, let's correct that behavior. I think it's important to make sure that the tone of the room aligns with what you're hoping to accomplish.
My favorite thing about hosting,
because you are in charge.
Yeah, it became that like, oh, I don't have to kill. I really just have to set a fun
vibe. Which, like, for a long time, I struggled with that too. Where it's just like, I was like, oh god, I wasn't funny enough. And I'm like, no, that my job isn't even to be funny. I'm just there to let everyone know what's happening.
Yep.
And to make everyone feel like it's safe to have fun.
Yeah, and even literally just saying that. Like, yeah. I would get weird at my shows a lot of the time. I started just using it as just like a skeet shooting, or just like throw it against the wall and see what sticks. But like, even sometimes it'd be like, we're going to do a comedy show. People are going to come up here and say some weird things. I'm going to be hanging out in between. Like, I would almost just like map out the show, why we're all here and what's going to happen,
right,
and why it's going to be fun, and let the comics shine in that
expectation. Yeah, because that's your job.
Right.
Yeah, you're there to set them up and they're there to knock them down. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's really important to know your role. You're a cheerleader. Are you trying to get down, little puppy?
Cheerleader.
Are you tired of me now?
Yes!
Would you like to get down?
Yeah, so I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Jay Live said he'll bomb for $300. Jay Live is great. He's out in Birmingham. I actually did a corporate gig out there like 2 days ago, and we met up at Waffle House afterwards.
Oh,
doing the comic thing.
That road life.
Sean Penn, any advice to get more bookings?
Advice to get more bookings. So we talked about this a little bit in the other episode that we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first and foremost, making sure that your set is tight, that like the goal, that you have a booking goal. Mm-hmm. I think we all are kind of like, oh, I want to do more shows. I want to get on more. What do you want? Do you have 5 minutes? Do you have 10 minutes? Are you trying to get more 8 minute spots? Like, you know, are you looking for a 20 minute spot? Know what your goal is. Identify what shows, what people are going to give you access to that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what I always tell people to do, if there's a show you want to get on, go to the show, watch it, say hello to the host, be like, hey, thanks for a great show. And then, you know, if they've got the email set up or they've got a Facebook page, whatever, contact them to say, hey, love the show, would like to be considered, like, can I send you a tape?
Boom.
Send them a tape. And that's really, after that, you've done all that you can do. And they'll book you if they like you. And if they don't, you know, maybe a few months later, follow up. But usually if they just don't say anything, it's a very polite rejection. And please let them do that for you. Because it's painful. It's hard. It's hard to say no to people. So sometimes, yeah, you might get ignored. It's not personal. We're bad with confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think know what you're looking for. Find out who you can ask for it. And then give evidence that you deserve to have it. And if it works out, it'll work out, you know.
And even just to build on that, because that's all gold, also start surrounding yourself with people that are getting booked.
Mm.
So a lot of the time, you can get caught in the rut of an open mic, and you're around the same people doing the same jokes at the same shows and the same night, just hanging out. So if you want to get booked, get around more comics that are actually getting booked.
Yeah, or go hang out at the shows you want to be on, because I'll say, as a producer, and it's not even necessary to say like hanging out gets you booked, but it's like a combination of things like, if you're funny and you've been cool when I've talked to you and I see that you come out and you support my show, you're going to be on my radar more because I've literally seen your face recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. You know, I pay attention to that stuff. I know, because to me, those are the people who like really want to be there. And I know not everyone has the free time to hang out, and that's okay. But, you know, come check in once in a while, or like shoot me a message and let me know you really want to check out the show, but you don't have time. Like, just let us know you're out there, because I'm not, yep. It's not that I'm ignoring you. I literally just, there's so many people.
All the bookers I've interviewed have said, like, a lot of times you're just not top of mind. Like, it's not even personal. It's like, we literally just don't
think. Between the open mics alone, I usually see about 60 comedians perform.
Oh, God bless you.
Right? And then on other shows I run that happen weekly or monthly, you know? So, I mean, I put on over 150 shows last year. So I see a lot of people, and people are always coming in and out. So it's like, if you want something, you got to let me know. I can't anticipate your needs.
Boom. We gave them the gold on that one. It's Christian Davis. Sam, you got great teeth. We almost got a spit take on that one.
Thank you.
I just don't know, like, what...
Someone else complimented my teeth on Saturday at a bar. It was really weird.
I mean, that's a great...
It was wonderful. It was great.
Good compliment.
Hey, shout out to my my grandparents for getting me braces all those years ago.
I was
going to
say, what about my teeth? I got braces, too.
You got some killer teeth, too.
I got braces, too.
Look at them bones.
Oh, Greg says thank you. He liked the question.
Oh,
Holly.
Hey, Holly.
Hi, Sam Boo. Hi,
hey,
Joel.
Hey, love you, Holly. Holly's so funny.
Holly's great. She just opened up. She was working with Beth Stelling.
Yeah. I love Beth. I know. I just listened to your episode with her, too.
She's so nice.
Yeah, Holly's great.
And she's one of those, it's like, we snuck the interview in the green room between her two shows. It's like, it's amazing how generous
people actually are.
Time. Just
it's true.
Like,
yeah, more
wow.
often than not. I mean, people want to like be nice and helpful and people like to talk. So it's, just reach out.
It's very inspiring. Yeah,
it's great.
A lot of the most successful people I've interviewed have been also like the nicest and most generous.
I think that says something. Yeah, that all adds up.
Venues don't... Oh, this is Ron. Venues don't think they can afford comedy acts, but will bring in music, subcommittee, and I think those are school.
Okay, yeah.
Missouri S&T doesn't seem to listen to non-student comments. Oh, thank you. Goals. Okay. I guess he was just reiterating what you said.
Oh, about like why that isn't working.
They bring music, but not comedy, I guess.
Because I'm sure if they're looking at trying to book like a major headliner that wants like an $800 guarantee or something like that, that's a little different than like a local act. But I would say, you know, and you never know. Sometimes you got to talk to the right person. Maybe approach them with a budget, have a plan already in place to show them how it could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then if not, you know, move on to the next one. But yeah, I think sometimes people just don't understand how they need to see how it could work. They need to see how it would be laid out for them to agree to it because they just can't picture it because it's not their world.
Right. So even if this is your first time, go in as you're the professional. You're the authority
on
the
topic.
You're the
authority. You're the one in the field.
Yeah. So even if you don't have any experience, go in with the confidence that you know what you're talking about, and they'll be like, oh, I guess he's right.
Do some research, talk to some other shows, see what budgets could work. But yeah, I mean, if it's just not working for them, it's not working for them. But
yeah.
There's always an in, I feel like. Sometimes just waiting for the right person to come along.
Yes, for sure. Timing's a big thing in this. Jamie Ward,
what if more clubs, like doing clubs or performing, meeting clubs? I'm not really sure what Jamie's asking. I know Jamie.
Oh, yeah. Well, Conrad said, thank you guys for doing this. You both have a good head on your shoulders, and this is helpful. Yay!
Conrad!
Finally, a compliment my way. Jeez Louise. I wonder more clubs.
More clubs.
More clubs, more or fewer. Or if, like, we want more clubs...
Do we need more clubs?
I mean, I think you're a testament, you're an example of you don't need clubs to be successful. You can really build your own.
Definitely not. And I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are showing that, and I think that's kind of the new direction for how comedy is working. And I think even the clubs are changing how they do. I mean, the Laughing Skull here is doing a ton of great satellite shows.
Right.
And they're recognizing that there's all this outside talent that they can pull into their network. So I think even the way clubs work is changing. So, I mean, Joe Pettis and One Up Comedy is a great example of that. I mean, they're essentially their own comedy club out of the Highland Ballroom. So, yeah, I mean, it's all changing and different. But it's kind of depends on where you are, too. some
places. How much comedy. Like, Atlanta, there's a lot of comedy.
Yeah, for some places, all you have is, like a funny bone.
Or, like, or Birmingham, like, Stardome is, like, the main thing going on.
So this kind of depends.
Yeah, just depends. Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah. So we had a few, just a couple more here on, I remember a couple people commented, I'm so excited, I'm doing ATL Comedy Grind today.
Ooh,
I feel so fancy. Yeah, I've been wanting to do it. It makes me feel like we made it. Because I'm looking to, get the word on the comedy special out there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's just a few weeks out.
It is. February 1st. Pre-sale open now, everyone. I just released the first vlog last night, too.
Ooh.
So go check that out on YouTube, as I say it confidently. Jonesy Pitts. This guy.
I'm sorry.
Which one?
There's just a Facebook ad right now.
Marriage and relationship.
Just says husband.
That's so bizarre. I wonder why. Oh, it's a Facebook group. Oh, yeah. Love quote.
You're getting targeted for a lot. It must be because trophy husband.
Oh, you know what?
They've been posting husband a lot, and they're like, "Is he okay?"
I bet it is. Because I was wondering why I'm getting targeted that. Because I was like, "What have I been doing with marriage?" That's exactly what it is.
Anyway, sorry, I just noticed your ads. You were talking about somebody.
No, but that's hilarious.
That's so silly.
I love that. Yeah. Or sometimes you'll say something on the phone, and then an ad pops up on your computer.
And
you're like,
"Wait
a minute." So, Jamie said we're great for doing this. Super cool idea. Great info.
Oh, good job.
Jerry wants to do the laughing skull pretty bad. He's in Alabama. He's actually, he rocks his hot breath shirt a lot. I thought he was in the profile picture, but that's his shenanigans shirt.
Yeah, well, with laughing skull, I mean, obviously it's a little difficult if you're not in the Atlanta, but I know with the open mic, you just have to email and they'll book you. If you let them know you're coming from out of town, they'll try and accommodate. You can book it a few weeks out and you can start coming there. And usually that's like the chain of command, basically. You go through the open mics and then they'll invite you to other stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's pretty accessible. Just find that on their website.
I've heard several. I mean, I was just in, I think it was Greenville, and there were several comics who were like, "Yeah, it was just a laughing." People drive from all over to do laughing skull.
Yeah, I see it all the time, and people have made a trip to be there. So
it's a really cool venue.
Yeah, it is. It's a great space.
So Jonesy, what's so cool? Hey, David, I met him in Indiana.
The
Drop Comedy Club up there. He, Jonesy. Came to Funny Monkey a lot, and he was a big fan of comedy, and he came to my game shows, and then he just recently started actually doing comedy.
Oh, very cool.
So it looks like he's, I eventually want to host a storytelling show. What are some things to consider when finding a venue? How do you go about booking people on your shows?
Great question. So the venue, I mean, like we talked about before, obviously making sure that there's someone who is also passionate about what you're trying to do, or who at least likes you and believes in you. That personal relationship will carry you very far because it takes time for things to grow, and it's already stressful enough when you without having a venue who's mad at you for it not being a smash hit right away. So make sure it's someone who's got their values aligned with you. But then I think a good venue is a place that has, a separate space. If it's a bar or a restaurant, it's best to have a separate event room and not be in the middle of the restaurant. Because how do you ticket that? How do you control volume? How do you not disturb other guests? Making sure there's good parking and it's accessible. Because people, if it's difficult to park there, people stop coming back because they're like, ugh, I don't want to have to find a spot. I don't have to deal with that. I think getting a place that'll support you with drink specials or food specials, if that's what they do, or a place that you can offer it as BYOB. I mean, not to just be people gotta drink, but people like to drink at comedy shows. It's just part of the culture of it. So making sure that's available. And I'd say last but not least, don't underestimate the size. I think people don't recognize, I think it's this in the last episode, but just low ceilings are so important.
Right.
Making sure you're not in this big echoey space, making sure, just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to be a good show. Don't sell yourself short. Make sure it's going to look and sound good. And also, you can turn almost any space into a professional looking space with a few very simple tools, the backdrop, we were talking
about
before. The banner, I've got some stage lights that are just from Amazon basics, with clamps and PA and stand. And you can really make a space look like a comedy venue. Attention to detail. So,
Supportive of a venue that you can set up to look like a great show.
Mm-hmm.
supportive venue seems to
supportive
be
supportive venue really like, is the number one thing, because everything one. Else is going to be a challenge without the support of the space.
Yes.
Because you're going to run into it where they're like double booking their room, or mm-hmm. they're having events next door and it's loud, or like their staff hates you. I don't know, stuff happens. So just make sure you've got a good relationship.
And when you book one of these, don't just book your friends. Like, the big thing in building a show is people coming back again and again. So make sure you're booking funny people so people want to come. Like, Jonesy kept coming back because I would put up some crazy people, but also I wanted to make sure there were some funny people in there.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was a fun show to
be at.
I think, if it's like a one-off, you want to stack your lineup and make it strong, but as you're getting into the flow of booking a recurring show, like something that's weekly or monthly, something that, like, I've found is, like, there's kind of, like, a pattern of, like, what I'm looking for, where it's, like, okay, I've got maybe 6 spots, and I'm going to make, like, 2 to 4 of those, like, strong comics, what I consider, like, consistent people that I see often on other shows that I know are consistently succeeding on stage, and either, like, my anchor comics. And then I've got 2 spots that are for, like, my wild cards with people where it's like, I've seen them out. I think they're funny. I like them.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen them on a ton of stuff, or I've only seen them on 1 or 2 things. Let's give them some time and see what happens in my room and see if my audience likes them. And then if I like them, then eventually they become one of my anchors. Like, but I do, because I have a weekly show, I can do that. I can offer all those spots. So it's important to know, what kind of show are you booking? If it's like a one-off that people are paying $25 for, make sure it's a stacked show.
Yes.
You know, like my Don't Tell comedy shows, those are all anchors. I don't play wild cards on Don't Tell. That's like a quality show. But if you've got a lot of spots, like, you leave a little extra on the side to kind of dole out and see if people are ready for other spots.
And I think it's important to hear the amount of thought going in to booking a show. So, unless if you don't have the time to put that much thought into a weekly show, start with a monthly show.
Start with a one-off. I honestly don't recommend anyone run a weekly show, particularly like a booked weekly show. I really don't recommend it. It's so much work. At this level, for one individual, it's so much work. I think for like a club, or if you're doing it with like an established venue, maybe. Like, if you're working with an established theater and they've got, like, marketing behind them and they're bringing people, you know. But if it's just you trying to bring an event to a new place weekly, it's so much work. And also, like, I think the mindset when it's weekly, people are like, oh, I'll just go next week. It's harder. It takes more time to build that following. And it's just a lot of work. I would recommend doing one-offs, making big productions, building your audience following, building an email list with the big show.
Yeah.
And then after you get some people who like kind of come to some shows and know you, then you should be like, hey, I have this new weekly show. And then you send out an email to that email list or that Facebook group or whatever. So it's
email,
like
there's
building the marketing.
There's the booker here in Atlanta, Mari Sims, who I had on a long time ago. He books a show every night of the week. Every single show is like standing room only. All email list. His social media presence isn't
time.
That it's all email list.
Yeah, it's just about like time and building and following up with people. I definitely recommend like start with a show that happens a little bit less frequently that you can give more attention to. Because if it's happening every week, your attention's divided every single week. That's 4 times a month you gotta get something going. Whereas if it's once a month or it's every 2 months, you can really devote time and energy to it and make something more quality, build that following based on that quality, and then they'll follow you and they'll stick with you with the new things. If that makes sense.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right, just a few more here. Mellow Black said your hosting class was super helpful. Yeah, I did a hosting class last week. I mean, last year.
Last year.
Oh, Gary Henry was here for his break. That's so cool.
Oh, that's nice.
This is so crazy. Funny, the power of comedy. Sean Murphy, hope all is well. He was in Myrtle Beach. Met him in Myrtle Beach. Comic out there. Matt Whiteside, how have you built your audience? I mean, really, just consistently over time for me.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a very outgoing person, and I like people a lot. Like, I really like meeting new people. So for me, it's come down to just being available and approachable, and I talk to people after shows a lot.
Yes.
And yes. I also, like, I just talk to everybody I meet all the time. I constantly leave the grocery store having shared, like, a personal story with a bagger. Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just, I have, like, stickers for my company, for Winnie Peach, and I interact with people, and if it comes up, if comedy comes up, or if, like, I like them, and I'm like, hey, you know, by the way, I'm a comedian. If you ever want to come to a show, here's my sticker. Come check out the calendar, you know? So yeah, I think personal connection is a great way to build an audience.
Yes.
People remember you more.
Yes. That's something I wish I did more early on. Like, probably for the first 6 years, I was like, well, I'm an artist, and I'm just here to do my stage time.
Didn't talk to people,
didn't talk to comics, really. Like, and that's something, if I were, I don't have any regrets, but like, if I were to change something, it would be, I would be more outgoing sooner. And be,
totally.
Like, in life, at shows, it...
Yeah.
Since I started that, the fan base has grown.
Yeah, it's just the comfort level, because I think comedy is all about vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, people like to feel like they're your friend.
Yeah.
Like, people like connecting with a comedian the way that you would when you listen to your friends, like, talking shit and being funny.
Yeah.
So you gotta be accessible.
Sean Patrick Moore, wouldn't it behoove you to be funny? Sean Patrick Moore actually met in St. Louis. He lives in a van. I did a tour of his van for the podcast.
Oh, cool.
Behoove you to be funny in the hosting spot if your intent is to advance.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean,
yeah,
you're funny, but I think ultimately when you're running a show, your job, you're an MC before you're a comedian when you're hosting a show.
Mm-hmm.
And your job is to keep the event running and keep the energy up. So yeah, that includes being funny and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply otherwise.
Yeah.
I think I just...
You just don't, like, run big, long bits.
Yeah.
You're not doing 15 minutes.
And in between every comic,
yeah,
you're
and you're not
doing...
You don't have to comment every little thing and make everything about how you're funny, too. I feel like you
right.
said
No, I'm funny, too.
Where
yeah.
it's like someone has a killer set, and the host comes in and is like, you know, they were talking about
right.
Hot dogs. And I don't have a joke about it, but I'm about to make one because I feel threatened by how
right.
funny they were with theirs. You just don't want to do that.
Yeah, but it is, yeah, you definitely want to be funny
as
a host.
Yeah, you
want
to be funny, but it's not about you. It's about the other comics being funny in that moment.
Yeah, and I think going into hosting with that mindset, if it was maybe a personal shift, that it just took the pressure off of me of like, well, I better go up there and kill or people are going to hate the show. It's more just set a fun tone and you will be funny.
And that's enough.
That.
Like, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's all your job requires of you. You've met
mm-hmm.
your job requirement. You don't have to be the funniest one on the show.
All right, Gio Perez says, I love the rejection. Out of sight, out of mind. Mellow Black, I've been doing anchor/wild cards for my show.
Good, yeah. I think it helps keep some balance and it gets new
mm-hmm.
faces in while maintaining a quality show.
Sean Murphy, any suggestions on setting yourself apart from others when submitting for stage time?
Oh,
that's a good one.
Like, in the actual approach itself. Well, I'd say, like, full stop first, like, just... As a comedian, I mean, the way you're always going to stand out is by telling jokes that are personal and true to your life, because no one else is living your life, but many people are probably sharing that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So by being vulnerable and personable, like we were talking about earlier with like connecting with audiences, people like feeling like they know you. So yeah, topical jokes are great. Political jokes are great. That's wonderful if that's your voice. But I think you're going to stand up so much more if you're talking about that thing that happened to you at camp when you were 7.
Yeah,
you know, versus
for sure.
like, oh, Donald Trump, like, we get it, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess, like, yeah, being personable and thinking about what's unique about you, what do you have to offer, and focusing in on that as a whole, I think, changes everything for you as a performer. But in terms of, like, reaching out and approaching people for bookings... The things that I always notice first is how was I approached? Did you walk up to me while I was working at
mm-hmm.
my show? That's not a good way to do it.
Mm.
Did you Facebook message me while I was working during my show? you know, did you follow the protocol? If they have a protocol laid out, did you follow it? Like for me, if people submit through the booking form or they submit to the Wendy Peach email, I'm like, okay, they paid attention. And now I'm paying
right.
attention.
Yes.
But if the booker hasn't set up a standard, I mean, that's a different thing. But I think, yeah, more than anything, it's just about showing up and being respectful, asking how you can be considered instead of asking for the spot, I think goes a long way. And just being professional. I don't know. Treat it like a job.
Treat it like, yeah.
You
don't
know?
Just go up and be like, yo, I heard you have a show. When are you going to have me?
Like, yeah, when can I get time with that? And it's like, I don't
they don't even say hey. People will just be like, yo, when can I get time?
And I'm like, don't approach people face to face asking for a specific date, because they're not going to remember, and then you're going to show up on that date and they didn't write it down, and then they're embarrassed and you're embarrassed, and it happens to me every week.
I can't imagine what you go. I did one show. I can't imagine what you go through with all the shows you do.
And I need to be better about being firm about my own rules, because I'm so flexible for people, because I just want people to like me so bad.
But it is like set that expectation.
But you haven't set. Yeah,
like
you have
Joe
to set,
sets an expectation at his shows. Like if you're talking, he's like, shut up.
Totally.
Like he sets the expectation across the board, and I think people will respect.
And people respect it. Yeah, and they don't push him on his boundaries. Pay attention to what the booker's boundaries are, man.
Yeah, and they even in thinking of messaging someone, like, be professional about that. If you're emailing them, form like, hey Sam, I've heard great things about your show. I've pasted a clip below. I would love to be considered on a date. You see me a good fit, or don't just be like, yo, I heard you got a show.
When can I get on?
Let me get a spot. Like, you will be amazed at how just blunt people are.
Yeah, it sucks, and it makes me feel like you don't think what I'm doing is of value, because you're treating like it's so below you that you shouldn't even have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'm reading too into that. But here's the thing: the people who are booking the shows are people with feelings and emotions. I know for me, I'm very sensitive. Sorry, guys. Sorry, boys. You have to deal with it. I'm very sensitive. So how you approach me will affect how I feel about booking you. And that's just having interpersonal skills. So, just be professional and polite. Be respectful. Treat every show like it has value. Treat every person like they have the authority that they do have. It's their show. Like, don't know. Just be nice. It's very easy to be respectful. Just treat everything like it's a job. I think that's what we need to do. Treat it like a job.
Treat it like a job. If you want it to be a job, treat it like one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get these last two in here, because we've been going almost an hour here. So let's, Jerry, the speakeasy at Straight to Ale in Huntsville is good. That is a really good show. Oh my gosh. Jody Carter, any advice for writing jokes, i.e. developing after your initial joke premise? Any processes for adding or extending into material? P.S. Joel has great hair. Obvious suck up. Thank you.
You finally got
one. Bow. We got one. We got good teeth and hair on this show. That should be the name of our podcast.
Good teeth and hair.
Woo. So for developing after the initial joke and premise, I mean, I found helpful to look at how many different angles you can bring into that topic. So when you're talking about, let's say I'm talking about getting married, it's like, okay, if I can talk about getting married, like my wedding, talk about it from the angle of my point of view, and then bring in the angle, what's my wife's point of view? What was the officiant's point of view? Maybe what were her parents' point of view? What is the point of view of divorced people on marriage? I try to explore a 360 view of a topic, and sometimes you give it from 10 angles and you end up keeping 3 of those angles. Mm-hmm. But exploring it from every angle, like the more you write about a topic, the more opportunity you're giving yourself to expand that topic.
Yeah, I think a willingness to write down just everything. Just write down everything. I think people will wait until they have a joke to write stuff down, but you never know what's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think once I have like a premise and I kind of like, I sort of have the joke, but I need to like expand on it, I need to develop it more. Personally, it's for me, I have to talk out loud. And that's obviously where open micing comes in, but I have found, I will just talk out loud to myself. I will just hit record on my phone with voice memo, or I'll film myself and I'll just like run the bit and then I'll listen to it and I'll be like, okay. Cause I find as I'm talking out loud, usually ideas start, you know, you start riffing. I don't know. That sounds crazy.
Cool.
But,
yeah.
I feel like, yeah, if you can't get out to a mic and get in front of people, just do it at home. I do it when I'm sitting in traffic all the time. That's how I talk through stuff. So yeah, I find just like talking out loud really does help. So even if you feel like you're not ready to go up at a mic because like the joke's not done, just go up with a mic and start saying it. Halfway through, you're probably going to finish it, like just through talking. I feel like that happens a lot.
That's what Mark Norman does as well. He just talks to himself in his room, he said.
Yeah, I do.
So I mean, that's why he said it, like for like an hour.
That's
what
the comedy is, isn't it? It's polished talking to yourself.
Right. So if it's good enough for Mark Norman and Sam Gordon, give it a shot,
Norman
Jody.
Norman and Gordon.
Yeah, Norman and Gorman. Oh, that's rich.
That's funny.
Hey, Richard. He's working on a chunk of material recently.
Nice, and then nice.
Steve Rivera, he owns Gutty's Comedy Club up in Indiana. I did that one last year, too.
Cool.
He's been hosting his more, he says. Introduce yourself and make sure you have something to find you. I'm guessing he's talking about a host.
Yeah, definitely.
We want to see what you have. Oh, he's saying as a booker himself, he wants people to introduce and...
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, make all the information available so I know who you are and who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make the judgment about whether or not I want to work with you before we...
All right. And this is... Oh, John Hinton's in here? Nick Gibbons from Adult Swim? We got some... We got Jake Rubel?
Jody's coming.
Cool, now I can tell people I'm working on bits when they catch me talking to myself.
Yeah, see, you're an artist, great. Jody. You're an artist.
I'm not crazy, I'm creative.
I'm working.
Andy Gunnan says I talk to myself because my wife won't listen. Jerry, I have to get a fellow... Jerry Woodruff, I have to get a fellow comic that can see to me... to drive me out there.
All right, Jerry needs a ride to Atlanta.
And a typist. I need a reader. I don't know.
Jerry needs a ride. So everyone hook up with Jerry.
So here we go. All right, the final question of this Q&A. And thank you, everyone, that has been tuning in. Holy cow. I haven't done many of these, but I feel like more need to be done.
I think it's nice.
People are really responding. So the final one,
Carly Sherrick,
who was at the show last night.
Mm-hmm.
This is the final question of this Q&A. So my question is, I'm ready to approach a couple of venues, and my initial thought is to say, I'll pay a certain percentage of ticket sales, plus people will also drink a lot. Is that a fair place to at least start negotiating, or is that giving money away? And what would be a fair percentage?
So I think it depends on what kind of space it is and how frequently you want to do the show. So for example, like with my weekly show at Amatza in Decatur, which starting on the 19th is moving to Sundays at 7, guys. And so it's a free show for people to come and see. And it's like basically a booked open mic with some bucket spots. But we've worked out a deal where they'll give my booked comics some drinks. Hmm. They'll give me a drink, give us a discount on our food, and then they give me a rate for hosting and promoting the show every week. And so for some venues, it could be a flat rate. I think at the end of the day, like, you absolutely have to be making money if you're running a show at a venue. Don't run a show for free. That's ridiculous. And same thing with like hosting the open mic, I make a flat rate. With my Don't Tell shows, it's overall ticket sales, and then I share, for some venues, we'll get a donation of the venue, and then sometimes we'll share a percentage of the ticket sales. So I think it just really depends. I think if a place has a bar, a fair option is to say that, like, you could do ticket sales, you keep all of the door, they keep bar.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they want a percentage of ticket sales, you should be getting a percentage of the bar. I think there's a way to balance it. So, I don't know. It just really depends on the frequency of the show and like the kind of space and all of that. I think a 20%, like between 10 and 20% is like a normal percentage of cutting ticket sales or bar sales. It just kind of depends on how large the venue is.
You would get 10 or 20% of the bar and they get the rest, or 10% of ticket sales and they get the rest?
Or it would be like a switch. Like, they're going to take 20% of your tickets and you're going to take like 10 or 20% of the bar for the hours the show is running from like 6 to 10 or whatever.
Okay.
And that's assuming like you're really bringing in people. I'd say when you're first starting out, the best option is going to be like, hey, let's just do like a flat rate to cover the marketing, or get an agreement where they're going to pay for marketing and you'll just host and book.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the show grows and you can see, okay, this is what we're getting, this is the draw we have, then you can renegotiate how that money might look. Because until a show's happening, there's really no money and you don't know.
Right.
But I'd say approaching a venue, if you're just trying to get it started, approach them with a plan. Just like pick an angle that you think might work best for you for this first time and just stick with it and be like, this is what I want to try this time. What do you guys think? Because coming up to them and not having a plan, they're not going to take you seriously. You're just some person who wants to use their place. But yeah, it really just depends on the frequency and the size of the venue, I think, what those numbers look like.
So what if it was like, if it's like a pizza place with a stage that's done some performances?
Sure.
How would you even go into this? Would you call this venue? Would you email them? And what would be your plan of action of, it's kind of like a role play, like how you would even approach a venue?
So like, for example, like when I'm looking for a venue for Don't Tell Comedy, which happens almost every single day.
Before this, right?
Yeah, I literally, yeah, I literally yeah. started from a venue meeting.
Yeah.
So what I do is, you know, if you, I think first you want to know what area you're looking for, and you do your research, you pick a venue, mm-hmm. and now you decide you want to go into it, you know, go online, see what their web presence is, see, are they, do they seem like they want to be emailed? Do they have like a very clear system for emailing? Is there someone in charge of events or someone in charge of like, I don't know, like when people, because some restaurants have someone in charge of like even just like private events, stuff like that. And if their email is there, send them an email and be like, hey, could I come by to talk to you about the space?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you can't find that information, just walk in and just ask to speak to someone and say like, hey, you know, I'm just thinking about doing a thing here. Is there someone here I could talk to you about that? Or would you guys be interested in that? And usually someone will point you in the right direction. But yeah, I think you have to just kind of put a cards on the table and have a plan when you walk in, though. I don't think that you can just kind of walk in and be like, we should do a show here and then wait for them to...
Yeah. So you go in with the price. So you go in of like, hey, I want to do a show here for $100.
Yeah, I go in with an offer for sure.
Okay,
like
with this offer.
Like I have an email that's like, okay, like, hey, I'm Sam. I run this show. This is what it is. Here's where you can find more information about it.
Okay. Qualifying yourself.
Yeah, explaining what it is, what the intentions are. And I'm like, so this is what we do. Here are some other businesses that we've worked with. Normally we can bring out this many people depending on like the size of your space, and then talk about like whatever like financial deal, like if I'm looking for a free venue, if I'm willing to do a door split, and then ask to meet in person to talk about it and like check with the space further. So yeah, I think you gotta really just be direct and say like, so this is what I'm trying to do, do you guys think you'd be interested? And then you can always negotiate from there. But coming at someone and just being like, let's do a show. I mean, they don't know. They got right. so many things to do. They're busy, man. They're running a business. Like,
right.
They want someone to come in and make it happen for them, you know?
Yeah, and they want, yeah, they yeah. want a plan
is,
to be like,
I
we
mean,
can make money from
I
that.
I mean, that's with, like, Eddie Zadig, right? Like, they mm-hmm. decided they want to start doing comedy after stuff, after Java Monkey stopped happening. And,
yeah.
Then they asked you, and then you didn't have time, so you sent them to me. And mm-hmm. then, you know, like, they looked for an outside person to do that. I think businesses want that, or like if it was offered to them, they probably would like it.
Yeah, for sure.
But they don't have time to pursue it. So you need to make sure that you have a plan already in place so you can be the professional.
Yeah, and that was mine with Java Monkey. I knew they did music there and I knew they did mm-hmm. poetry there. So I just went in and like talked to them about like, would you be interested in comedy? And they were like, yeah, actually, we've been wanting to, but the opportunity just hasn't come up.
Yeah, usually
just
they're
just
waiting for
fit.
Someone else to take charge of it. You just have to mm-hmm. be willing to be that person. So yeah, form a plan. And Carly, specifically with your question, if you have like particular venues in mind and you want some more specific advice, feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to offer what I know. I also think Joe Pettis would be a great person to answer. I know his episode, he talked a lot about that.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you haven't seen the Joe Pettis episode, check that out. Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
So, we had a lot of people tune in. Thank you guys, everybody, for tuning in. Adam had a question about reasonable to expect when starting an open mic, like restaurant spaces and stuff. We did address that earlier in this. A few restaurants with good spaces that I've considered talking to them about. Assume the best way to do that is to lay out what it means for them as far as the money. So we were just talking about that.
Yeah. I think it's just, figuring out what they're hoping to get out of it, and then trying to accommodate.
And it's like a good time frame. Like, let's try it for a month. Let's try it once.
Yeah,
let's try it three times.
I say give it a couple months. Like, if it's gonna be every week, you know, give it like a quarter. Give it like 3 months.
Oh,
give
a quarter.
It's
a good.
Four, you know.
Yeah.
And see what happens, and do like check-ins. Like that's what we did with Da Vinci's. We did like a 3-6 and like a 1-year check-in, basically.
Oh, okay, cool.
The marketing guy just kind of checked in, and you know, it's been going great. And I've gotten the support I needed. They've had the show they've wanted. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's it.
And Mellow Black said I want to get you both on a show as well. So let's end this show on
on
booking.
booking.
So anybody listening, anybody that was watching, you want to book us? You know,
you can.
We're available, and we're funny, so we'll put on a good show for you. And thank you, everyone. Steve Rivera, do you use an agency to book your acts? I mean, I never did. I think it's all just
me.
Yeah, just work.
It's
yeah,
me and Facebook, baby.
Yeah, Conrad, chocolate or vanilla?
I like.
I was gonna. I was thinking that I like maybe vanilla.
Yeah.
Chocolate makes me thirsty.
Chocolate makes me thirsty too.
Yeah, But thank you all so much for tuning in. Holy cow, so this was an incredible, overwhelming success.
That's really nice. Yeah. Maybe we should, we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, we will definitely. Maybe we need to do like a 6 month check.
Yeah, maybe this was, we like, should do some quarterly check.
Yeah, maybe we should, because seriously, like, your first episode got a lot of good feedback and people reached out, and then this one, I think people are really getting inspired out here. Yeah. So please let them know where they can reach out to you and annoy you with more questions, or to book you as well.
Yeah, please book me. That one's easy. It's just booking@samgordoncomedy.com.
Easy.
I mean, hey, like I said, the Eddie's Attic open mic every Monday. Right now, Wendy Peach has shows Sunday through Tuesday.
That's
Sunday
so
night
cool.
At a Mozza Pizza in Decatur, and then Monday night, Eddie's Attic in Decatur. Tuesday night at Da Vinci's Pizza in Midtown. We've got Don't Tell Comedy at least once or twice a month. It varies. We've got this new show coming up in the spring with Moxie in Midtown, which is going to be a beautiful show. Very excited about that. Wendy Peach has some big headliner shows coming up. Please pay attention, come out to them.
Yeah,
I'm very excited to be working with the Earl. And you can find me at samgordoncomedy.com, what Sam just said on all social media, wendypeach.com for all that good stuff. And if you want to submit, there's a submission thing on the website.
To submit to shows.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a whole system in place. Really, I'm trying to make it very, very easy for you to come tell me you're funny. Please just go to the website and follow the rules, and it'll be beautiful. It'd be such a good system. Thank you guys so much, and I'm available, you know. Just shoot me a message.
Awesome. Well, Sam Gordon, thanks for being on Hot Breath.
Yeah, thank you for having me. All right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Comedy! Have a good day, everyone.
Bye.
Go get the Trophy Husband Comedy Special.
Bye.
Oh, boy. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching, everyone.
Bye.
Have a good day. Dude, that was like a lot of people.
That was a lot of people.
Oh my gosh. We're influencers, Sam.
I think we just peed. Oh, that's so ridiculous.
People love it. People care.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for... Yeah, that went longer than I thought it would, but thanks for...
Yeah, that was great.
Seriously, Hot Breathiverse, thank you so much for caring. And please, if you care just a little bit more, hang out with me here for the final minute of this outro, because I just want to thank you personally. And also let you know, if you want to be involved in these Q&As, go join the Facebook group. Get on Facebook, search Hot Breath Comedy Network. Join listeners from around the world. Also, reach out to Sam directly. She took time out of her busy day to come over here and cuddle my dog and answer all of the questions. Reach out to her with any other questions. She is really the spirit of Hot Breath. Like last week's guest, Andrew Frank, a comedian out on the grind, doing it themselves. That's the spirit of Hot Breath, because we've all done the late open mics and the early mornings back at the day job. So the more we can create our own success in this game, I feel like the faster it's going to happen. And that's really what my goal was in self-producing my own comedy special. Everyone on Netflix and HBO and Amazon has comedy specials. I wanted to do it a different way. You know, cut out the middleman, record my own special, release it myself. And with your help, I really feel like we can make an impact beyond comedy and into just the world in general of an artist trying something that's never been done before. So if you would like to support that, go in the link in bio, click it, check it out, pre-order it, order it, share it, and we can all live happily ever after. So the ever after of this episode is now coming to a close. So I actually recorded the process of my intro and outros in that Facebook group as well. So, if, you know, some fun extra content over there as well. So thank you all so much for your support. Seriously, thank you all. And I'm excited to see you next Monday. We got an exciting one coming up, but we'll see what that is. But of course, at the end of these, I always thank my wife, Erin Byers. Oh, and I ran into Hot Brethren Greg Liptak at Sam's open mic this week, actually. And he had some questions about writing. And it reminded me that the website, hotbreathpodcast.com, has a search feature. You can go to hotbreathpodcast.com, click the search icon, and search any topic.
and it'll pull up all the relevant blog posts and interviews about that topic. So use that as a resource as well. And get on out of here. Get on with the grind, kids. Thank you to my wife for making the theme song. She also made the theme song for my comedy special. So click that link and just listen to the theme song, if anything. She'll thank you later. And my dog will appreciate you. He can eat another day. So all that being said, hop brethren and sistren, until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.